Hello, hello, everybody. This is Danielle O'Neill, and welcome to another episode of Misfit Wisdom. Today, I have a very special guest on my podcast, and his name is Noah Laurent. He is a prolific artist, photographer, philosopher, writer, and critical thinker. He does so many different things really, really well, and he is a very good friend of mine. He is a visionary and someone who's not afraid to try new things. And he's taught me so much about so many different areas of life. And I wouldn't be where I am in a lot of different ways without him. I have jumped on the bandwagon with a lot of stuff that he's done because he has discovered so many different creative avenues that I wouldn't necessarily find. I'm sort of like the copycat in a way. like we have our own different creative styles, but he's the cool cat and I'm like just somebody who's kind of taken a lot of hints from him and advice from him, and I've just sort of made things my own. But he is a true teacher in a lot of ways. He doesn't realize this, but he is. He's a true teacher and he's a true communicator, and he has a really powerful influence on a lot of people. So he probably could be a cult leader if he wanted to be, which is funny because we talk a lot about the, he's going to kill me for saying that. He probably could be a cult leader if he wanted to be. We can both have our own little separate cults. The funny and ironic thing about that, though, is I'm joking because we talk extensively about people who are influenced by influencer culture and influenced by just social trends, so much so that they are not able to think critically. And this is something that we hammer home in this podcast. We're very like sarcastic and sometimes angry, and like just it's a very funny sort of banter that we have here. And by the way, we will be discussing virtual reality because we're going to be in our own virtual reality world that we created on the Oculus Quest 2. If you don't know about that, do a little Google research on it, but it's owned by Facebook. This podcast is not sponsored by Facebook or Oculus Quest 2 in any way. Just wanted to make that very clear. But without further ado, here is a really funny, really in-depth, really witty, and very, very smart podcast with Noah Laurent, who is an awesome, just all-around human being. I don't tell him this enough, and I will not say it again because I'm not going to make him, I don't want to give him a huge ego. He won't anyway. But no, I will continue to say how great our conversations are, and this one is a particularly good one.
Welcome, everyone. Our world of our own making.
So basically I hate Instagram, Netflix, yep. Television,
yep.
The news.
Yes.
Any kind of creation where I don't hate VR yet. So I'm hoping that this is like going to be a trend where this is a safe form of media for me.
Right.
Because I give myself boundaries with it, and the fact that your battery dies every few hours is sort of a healthy thing because you have to recharge it. Yeah, it does. Right now, I think social media has hit like it's come to a head, I think.
Yes, yes. I think, I agree. I think that the thing that I like about this is you can create closed spaces. Like this space we have here is a closed like space. So there's no influence from anybody else. The issue is, you can do that in other online spaces, right? Like you can go on Instagram, curate who you follow, make your account private, don't look at the explore page. I mean, you're still going to get the ads though, you know? So like that's where it gets problematic is you can even try to create a closed space on social media and still get bombarded. You can try to create a closed space on Facebook and still get bombarded. But when you're in these worlds, there's no, if I don't want to be bothered by anybody, I don't have to be, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, because even really when cool. I was downloading, even on, when you download apps on the iPhone, okay, you still get ads that are like problematic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, I did not ask to receive any ads while I was downloading apps in the iPhone.
Right.
I'm really surprised at that. Like, that's all of a sudden like a thing now.
Right.
Like, where did that? I thought iPhone wasn't listening to like your conversations and stuff like that, because they know your deepest fears. They know what you want. They know what you're looking for. They know things that are on your mind. It's like they can read your mind, but it's like, are they really listening to you? Like, there's nothing private. There's nothing. I don't know. I don't trust it.
I agree. And my question is, I mean, this is owned by Facebook, right? This VR is owned by Facebook. Mm-hmm. So is this just another tool? Because you have to approve and accept so many things saying that they can like record your audio, they can do this and that. Is this just another way where now when I go on Facebook later, there's going to be curated ads to this conversation? You know, like I wonder if this is just an extension of the tool. Like, yeah, you're not getting bombarded in this experience by ads,
right?
But this experience is informing the ads you will get when you go on Instagram and Facebook later. You know, I wonder.
That's freaky, because then like people who are really superstitious, people who are superstitious and like thinking of like stupid new age like law of attraction and shit like that, they're gonna be like, oh, see, I manifested this because this ad came to me. You know what I mean? Oh, I was thinking about it and I was talking about it, so the ad came to me. No, I'm sorry, but. Like you were talking about it and the powers that be heard you and they sent you an ad. They generated an ad because they know what you're talking about and what you want and what you're thinking about. And so they're rubbing it in your face with an ad and they're really preying on people, like subconsciously, consciously, like it, like especially now when like we use microphones for everything, like we had to turn our mics on. Because it's a good way of communicating. But when you turn your mics on, who else is listening?
Right. And how would you communicate if it wasn't the mics and it was a text-based thing? They could just as easily read the text. If it was image-based, they could just as well interpret the images. I mean, it's all under their purview of like what they want, which is information on you. You know, you're just basically being studied so that you can be marketed to. So,
yep.
I think what matters is your level of awareness. You know, either there's a couple options. One is you completely just totally don't involve yourself in anything. You delete all forms of media. You only communicate through like smoke signals and you like, you know what I
Morse
mean?
Morse code.
Yeah, Morse code, like some coded secret spy language, like code rings. You know, like there's, you can do that and like, or take
cryptic
yourself off
letters
the grid.
And stuff.
Like you can find all these like weird ways to try to still have it, you know, only talk to people in person or whatever, make everybody leave their phones outside in their cars, you know, like whatever it is. But like realistically, you're gonna be, you know, I mean, I guess there's extreme cases of people that do all that, but realistically, you're gonna have to engage in some sort of social media channel, whether it's virtually, whether it's over your phone, whether it's over your computer. I mean, we're so, technology has become such an ingrained part of our experience that it's hard to avoid all forms of it if you still want to be experiencing things as the average person would. So
yeah,
what do you do?
Social.
Yeah,
can I do air quotes with this thing?
I mean, it wasn't quite air quotes, but it came across.
I'm trying
wrist,
to like
your wrist went like this
because social. You can't move your fit. You can't move. Oh wait, yeah, okay.
You can move your fingers. Yeah, it's a little bit. I like the full wrist though. Social.
Oh my god, you just threw confetti. How the hell did you do that?
I don't know.
Oh my god! Like this.
Social.
See, this is our world. We're being social now.
Oh my god, that's the funniest thing. Let's say Danielle, let's be social.
Let's be social. Can I pull like a rabbit out of my armpit or something?
Oh my god, that is a funny. I'm actually crying. That is the funniest thing.
Don't that cry because so... if your goggles get wet, you're gonna ruin your goggles, your VR goggles. So there's no crying in the VR world.
Oh my god, that is so funny.
That's crazy. But,
oh, that's so so funny. But the funny so the thing is this. Okay, so like what we're getting at is, how do you like arm yourself from being, because you're gonna get, things are gonna get targeted towards you. So what do you do to build up resistance to that somehow? Like how do you navigate being targeted? Because you're going to be, unless you literally remove yourself from the entire equation, right?
And even so, you're still gonna be targeted. I'm targeted through the mail. Like I got on these like mail lists,
right.
And I have no idea, but I get all this shit in the mail, like those guilt gifts for like injured soldiers and stuff like that. Like you can't avoid it. You cannot avoid it. So it's like, what do we do? Like, and the thing is, I feel bad because there's certain people that I follow, and it's like, do I unfollow these people because like maybe they're being connected to them is causing me to get more ads and more certain things my feed because of what they're talking about, you know? Right. And I noticed that. Do you ever notice that? Like when you're following certain people, they're talking about and posting about certain things. And then suddenly you start getting in your feed stuff that like looks similar to what they're posting about. And it's like, I didn't sign up for this. Like this is their problem. And they're like things that they're talking about that,
right,
I don't want to see.
Well, it's like a web.
So then
like
you can mute them. You can mute the other person, but you're still going to be connected to them. You're still going to be getting stuff in your feed. Like there's no way if you go on Instagram, and I don't know about Facebook. I don't know if you're allowed to mute like a mute.
Yeah,
you
can.
They
call it unfollowing on Facebook. So you don't defriend somebody, you just unfollow them and then none of their posts come up on your feed. But the connection is still there. Oh. So it's like muting. It's the same thing.
All right.
And it's all owned by Facebook anyway because they bought Instagram. So like this is owned by Facebook. They bought Oculus. Facebook owns Facebook and Facebook owns Instagram. So it's all Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's all, everything is owned by Facebook.
Right. So and it's, they're just going to continue to, they're going to just continue to, you know, monopolize things just like, what was another big one that I just heard? Microsoft just bought a huge gaming company, Activision and Blizzard. Oh. They just bought, like, it was like a $68 billion cash buyout. Like, literally, they bought them out with intentions of, like, extending.
Insane.
Yeah, they want to put their foot in the metaverse now, so they're trying to get involved. And
it's crazy.
Yeah, it's just, it's like, it's just never ending, really. You know, it's like, it's just, it's going to be these, Disney just bought the WWE.
What?
Yeah. They just
acquired.
Are you
serious?
Yeah. So, like, you're going to see, like, a few companies monopolize every form
of
media. Yeah. My friends were talking about it because they're big into wrestling and stuff. And they were laughing about the fact that
I used to be, but I haven't been following. Like, I just completely have taken, like, a few weeks and just not. I haven't been on Netflix. I haven't been reading the news. I haven't been that active on social media. Because I needed to step back from all of this. It was just getting way too overwhelming. You know,
absolutely.
I was getting caught in like the cycle of comparing myself to everybody else's lives because like, you know, it's just the time of the year that you're just tired and you don't want to handle all this crap that's swirling around in your head. And it's like, it's been time to hibernate from all that.
Absolutely.
And find, but it's like, it's funny though, how we're in our own created world, but it's like we're hibernating in like their world they created for us.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
that's like dystopian in its own way, right? Like we're the only space we can get away is by getting deeper in their space. Like we're now immersing ourselves in like an experience that exists entirely
a
in their
deeper
domain.
Virtual like, reality. Yeah, a deeper virtual reality experience. You were going to say something. Sorry. I think I.
Oh, no. I was just saying, I don't even remember what I was going to say, but it was just, you know, just this idea that, like, how do you, how do you navigate your day to day life? How do you navigate your experience when you have to contend with this being bombarded? And I think for me, because I hate it too, and I'm sensitive to it as well. And
yeah,
I think learning kind of the algorithms and how they function can help because it can kind of inform how you navigate it. Like for me on Instagram, right, I follow certain people and on occasion I'll scroll through my feed and like people's stuff. But more times than not, I just look at stories. And
yeah,
if that way I don't have to actually go through the feed and see ads, and I never look at the explore page because I don't even want to fall down that rabbit hole. So I literally just look at stories. And then if somebody comments on something of mine or likes something of mine, I'll click on their profile directly and then I'll like their posts. But it's very rare that I'm actually like scrolling through a feed, even Facebook. I like will go on there, post my own thing. And it seems very like, I don't know, just sort of self-serving to only worry about your content you're putting out there. But that's my way. I've been
kind of what it is
functioning.
It's,
yeah, it's like I'm not really
universe.
Right, and I'm not really trying to like necessarily get caught in that loop of endless scrolling. My big problem has been TikTok lately. That's been my freaking rabbit hole that I've been falling down, and that I scroll on for
definitely
like an hour. I'll just scroll.
We definitely need to talk about TikToxic, as we call it.
TikToxic, yeah,
because
no, it is. It's crazy.
The thing is, it's fun. That's the thing. These are escape mechanisms that take us away from our problems, from our invasive thoughts. You know, like if you're obsessing over something stupid, it's like, okay, let me just go on TikTok and scroll through like things that make me laugh. Because there's so much content on there, like a lot of it is going to make you laugh and it's going to make you feel amused and you're going to get a dopamine rush. But it's like even the negative shit gives you a dopamine rush. I don't think people realize that we are attracted to scrolling and clicking on things that are not necessarily good for us, but that gives us a dopamine rush in so many ways. You know, like it just activates parts of our brain that when we're bored, we're going to go and click, 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 but it's like you're clicking your heels and you're not going home. You're going to like you're going to a whole separate world that's like the underworld.
It is. It's, you know, like the belly of the beast.
It is. Belly of the beast. You really
the belly of the like, beast.
Makes me think of like makes me think of like a Steven Seagal movie. Right?
But it's true. It's like, honestly, like how do you function? You know, I guess that's like the big question is like, how do you function
because
question. Like,
the thing is, people are really not focused on their day to day living. It's like people are coexisting with whatever this virtual world is in their hands. You see people at their desks at work. They're not really working. I mean, they're working, but they're like also engaged actively in social media throughout the day.
Yeah.
Because for someone like me, like I'll post something, you know, during the day because I work from home and I do my own thing like you. We are creatives and we work differently. But I know people who are at their job and are supposed to be like in their like work at a hospital, in an office or whatever. Like they're clicking and they're liking and they're reading your story and they're stalking your stories. Yeah. And it's like, are you at work right now? Are you supposed to be at work?
Right.
It's none of my business, but I'm just, for the sake of wondering, the general public takes their social media with them everywhere. Right. So they're all day long, completely 100% actively engaging in another world while they're working. So they're never just doing one thing. We're always attached to this other world. We're like, we have one foot in the physical world and one foot in the virtual world. So we're like literally in two places at once. It's crazy.
Right. And the thing that's craziest about that to me is so many people are not, arguably nobody is, but definitely I am safe in saying so many people aren't not the same person they are in the real world as they are in their digital, like digital personality.
Oh,
so
I definitely, 100%.
You know, so like, 100%. So you got people now who are one foot in this world, one foot in the other world, and in each of those feet is a totally different person. So they have to maintain this like persona at the same time.
I'm definitely like that in my different world. I mean, I separate my two. I have like my personal account, which is like I'm allowed to be like a little bit more vulnerable and like sensitive in that one. And then I have my public account where it's like I'll rant about shit. that nobody in my personal account wants to hear. So it's like I'm choreographing two different profiles. But what we don't realize is that we're choreographing two separate profiles. It's like, okay, well, when do you just when are you just allowed to be that one version of yourself that's all over the place or whatever? You know, when are you allowed to just put everything out there, be who you are without having to choreograph something for someone in one specific world or another? Because we're, you know, like we're living our lives like now to meet the needs of the algorithm, basically, right?
Well, Well, even think about it this way. Let's think of the like Wall Street banker or some like, you know, some really like some uptight finance bro that is working at a, at, you know, working some corporate job, has a very like has to wear a suit to work. And while he's at work and he's got like any break, he's looking on his phone and he's posting like shirtless selfies to his OnlyFans account. Because that's what he does as a side hustle. Like, and he has to entertain those fans. Or let's say there's a girl who is, you know, she's a lawyer. And while she's in the office, she's also into yoga and is and is posting like all of these, I don't know, inspirational quotes and this and that to be like a guru on her social media while she's like a lawyer by profession. And she has, so it's like two different personas. It's like somebody who's like, you know, the very crunchy and oatmeal on their persona. And then they're like this serious corporate person and the lawyer in their real life. So it's like these people have to juggle multiple personas sometimes. Like sometimes it's even more extreme than, you know, the examples that me and you have, because I think overall we decide to showcase portions of ourselves in different ways on our social media channels. Like we're not 100% giving everything at every second, but we're, they're still us, you know, it's not, we don't have a persona.
It's not, we're not, I think it's, there's a difference between having different aspects of yourself, you know, like that song, Bitch, I'm a mother, I'm a child, I'm a this, I'm a that, I'm a sinner, I'm a saint. It's like, I'm a little bit of everything all rolled into one kind of an attitude. There's a difference between, I have all these different selves in one self, and I'm I'm choosing to share certain parts of that, you know, to different people that when I feel comfortable. There's a difference between that and I need to put on a certain, like you said, persona for a different audience in order to, I don't know, feed my ego or beef myself up in a way. That's or where that, losing the self. That's like when you become, you start to lose this part of yourself, I think.
I mean, I have people that I know personally that are wildly different on their Instagram than they are in person. And like, I'll talk to them in person and they're one way. And then they post these posts on Instagram and I'm like, and they, even the words they use and stuff. And I'm like, that's not you at all. Who is that person?
Like, and I, like certain people even change their voices. Like certain people change their voices in their video. You know, like they, you know, I'm talking about.
I know exactly.
There's people, there are people who, even people in my family, like, change their voice, their facial, even their facial expressions change when they are. When they are, what is that? Like, what would you even describe
that?
What
is that?
They're like catering
to psychosis.
It's what it, but like, is there it's a phenomenon where a person completely changes.
I have a theory.
Chameleon.
I have a theory. I think it is an extreme lack of self-confidence. I think people that completely put on a totally different persona that don't have to, like, if you, if you're I'm trying to think of like a reasonable example. Like if you're somebody who works like a very professional job and you want to like, you also are like into, you know, you want to be a normal person on your social media and you have a private account, that I understand. But when you're, when you are changing personalities, that's different. Like when you're changing your tone, your voice, and you're talking like a character of yourself, like it's just, that to me is
insecurity.
It's artificial because, and the reason it's that is because they want to present themselves as something that is considered like acceptable and popular because they don't feel that being themselves would be given that same reception. So since they want to be received and accepted, they put on a personality that they know works.
It's a defense mechanism, right?
Yeah, I just think it's a big insecurity, and I'm thankful that at this point in my life, I mean, and I've kind of always walked to like the beat of my own drum, like, you know, you too. But I've gone through stages where I've been more and less secure in who I am, and right now I'm at like the peak of my security in who I am, and I don't really feel the need to curate my personality for social media. I pretty much just deliver what I am and how I am, and there's no, you know, beating around the bush. This is what you're gonna get, and you know. But I also, you know, I've been doing a lot of work on that, so I don't think a lot of people do.
No, I think it's a thing where people don't realize we all need to do the work. I think people just put more work into like caking up the makeup that they wear.
Right.
This like
right,
shell.
Right.
You know, it's the like shell. People just work on the exterior, which.
Right.
I mean, I think it's a universal thing. We all want to look presentable in some way to people. Like,
yeah.
We have
Nobody
this desire
wants to
be social beings, you know,
right.
But like. I think that when you learn to start becoming comfortable with who you are, and like even like mm-hmm. my thing is lately, I'm becoming a little bit more comfortable with the insecurities themselves, like mm-hmm. that I have, like the accepting that. And that's mm-hmm. where I'm embracing like sort of like the moody side of myself too, in certain ways, like yep. because that's part of who I am too, you know? And I don't right. think like it's a bad thing to like have insecurities no. or to be sensitive or whatever. And I think that like, I don't know. I'm more of like the wear your heart on your sleeve type of person. Not everybody's right. like that, and that's fine.
Right.
But like,
right.
And like you said, there's the difference between when there's like, okay, like if you're a corporate boss all day long mm-hmm. and you just want to have your private like social media account and you just want to say like, fuck
sure.
this shit. Like, I hate my right. life. I hate right. everything. It's comical right. to a lot of people.
Right.
You know, but, right. but I think there's a, and it's, there's something that's very real about that. You know, right. like there's something that's very real about like even Martha Stewart, who had to be like this prim and proper
right.
Westport woman for all these years. And now she's like, whatever, what is she like smoking with Snoop Dogg now? And like,
yeah.
just, you know, but I think that there's something real about that. Right. There's something that's
right.
she's not phony about that. She actually like, I think maybe a little prison time has like. You know, giving her a different outlook on life.
Right. Well, my thing is this. I think you have to think about what direction it's headed in. If in your in your day-to-day job, you have to put a mask on because you're expected certain things in your career. And then when you go on social media, you kick back and that's where you're yourself. I don't find that problematic. What I find problematic is people that are in their day-to-day lives being themselves and then go on social media and be something other than themselves. Into the character happens when you go on social media, that's where I find it to be problematic.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Not the other way around.
Yeah, because what happens is and I've been saying this again and again, it's not just on social media anymore because people are taking mm-hmm. that persona and they're bringing it into real life where it's
blurring
still
the
persona. There's blurring right. the line between social media. So like, for example, a social media troll who is abusive to other people and just spewing out whatever, it's almost
right.
like they're taking that personality with them elsewhere. And like you're seeing now for the first time, I think the pandemic has a lot to do with it too. But like going into the grocery store and seeing like, you know, a woman cussing at the lady at the till,
right.
like who's the right. cashier, you know, like it's like this troll behavior, this persona.
Yeah.
Maybe
right.
there is
well,
a little
this
truth
is this.
To it.
Yeah.
And it's coming out in the real world too. But there's something that's so like dark about it. You know, it's just
right.
really dark.
Well,
and
there's
it's not
a lot
the truth
of
who these people are, I don't think, personally. I mean, I don't know them, but I don't know.
Right, right.
We can do better.
I agree. Yeah, no, I agree. And I think when it comes to that, there is this sort of hyper extended version of people's understanding of like freedom of speech right now. And I think a lot of it has to do with everybody. This is a rebuttal to cancel culture. And I think people think that the answer to cancel culture is to go out into the world and be the rudest, nastiest version of yourself to like stick it to everybody that's trying to cancel people on Twitter. And like, that's just breeding more and more resentment. And you're going to see more of an uptick of rude behavior. And there's been studies that have been done about this. Like specifically, they're blaming it on like the pandemic stuff, you know, and saying, you know, the pandemic has made people like feral. But like, I think it's more than that.
I think it's been building.
And I think the reason why, I mean, COVID doesn't make people more like feral and more aggressive. The situation that is a byproduct of COVID, which was more people spending more time on digital spaces.
Right, right.
During COVID because they couldn't go anywhere. So to me, the blame isn't to be put on COVID itself. The blame is to be put on these digital spaces that exist and the rules that exist in these digital spaces that have made people resentful to a point where the line between, for them, the line between the woman working at the cashier on the grocery store and this person on Twitter is the same vibe. And the same way they would attack somebody on Twitter, they can do in person. But that's not the case because Twitter's not real. You know what I'm saying? Twitter isn't real life. Twitter is Twitter.
And I think
it's a,
people
you know.
Need – I think after a while, I think people need – I think it's – I don't know if this is actually like a trend or something that's like going to happen, but I feel like it's starting to happen where people – I feel like people need a way to physically express what they're feeling outside of the typing. So it's like I think people are getting bored of the keyboard. They're getting keyboard, B-O-R-E-D.
Right. I love that.
And keyboard. So they're getting bored of that. And I think now it's like, it's almost like this need to like go outward. You know what I mean? Because before social media was, everything was going inward into our heads, into our brains. And now it's like people are becoming expressive. And it's like, I need to get this out. I need to like displace my anger and my emotions onto people around me. And that, I think that's why we're seeing this behavior happening. So we have the artificial behavior.
The line's blurred.
We have the, exactly. So we have the artificial behavior from people. We have the angry and aggressive, you know, really reminiscent of trolls behavior. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, and then we have obviously like the teens and the young, like people that are using even VR, like I'm like, it's concerning to think of what's going to happen, like from using all these shooting games and like these, you know, like just the like very aggressive sort of games on VR, because it's not like playing any old video game. This is it's like you feel like right here, we're in this world. We feel like we're actually in this world right now.
Right.
Right.
We are. Yeah.
Like, we created this. We're in this world. So I think sometimes, too, I think people in the virtual reality world, too, like, if they're playing a game that, like, simulates, like, I don't know, shooting or killing or whatever, if you're not, like, grounded within yourself and you're kind of, like, not mentally stable, you're going to take that world with you, even when you're not on VR.
Exactly.
So the line is blurred again. So I think that's sort of the theme. The theme of today is, like, where is, you know, we have to draw a boundary for those of you who know about every time you put on your VR headset, you have to draw a line. But the line is being crossed again and again. Like,
It's true, though, because the thing is this. I think these spaces, just as I thought social media spaces, Instagram, Facebook, all that, they were born, I think, out of good intention.
Yes.
I think they're born as tools to connect people, as tools of escapism for people that don't have the ability to escape. I think they were born as tools for resources to, you know, connect people with people they otherwise never could connect with. I think it's all rooted in good intentions. But the problem is when it gets, the dark side of it appears, and then, like we were talking about, this line is blurred between this world and the real world, and then people start to drag these personas from one world into another, and it becomes, you know, this sort of fantasy becoming reality, but it's like a dark fantasy. You know, it's like this evil, twisted world.
Underworld. It's the underworld. It's like, and we created, like, we wanted to escape from our, like, day-to-day, like, kind of craziness. So we created this, our own little world here. But like, right. and we're our world is full of color, but a lot of right. these worlds right. might be Clearly. Completely the opposite. You know, like
right.
So basically, what we're saying is our world is better, and screw everybody else.
Our world is superior, than else, and we're nobody superior. Else is allowed to come here.
No one's allowed to come here. Welcome doesn't really mean welcome to them; it just means welcome to yeah. us and like our vibes and our yep. opinions. I know, yeah. like sometimes, like when I talk and I rant about shit, like I feel like it to other people. I feel like it may come across as me saying I'm like superior to the rest, and it's not that at all. It's just that. No. I've seen what like being social media has done to me, you know, like when I was mm-hmm. actually on Facebook and active on Facebook, and it just made mm-hmm. me a really angry person. And right. I was one of these right. people that was ranting and writing like these long, like cryptic rants mm-hmm. and stuff. Like I wanted people to know, like mm-hmm. I wanted people to wonder what I was thinking and stuff. And it's like, that's how yeah. we like mess with each other's like, psychologically, you know, we yeah, and that, but yeah. it's happening, you know, and it's like, what do we do? Like, I think for me, it was, I had to delete all social media for a few years and slowly start coming back on it when it felt authentic to me, when it felt like I was safe.
Yeah.
And when I was able to engage in this like world again, without going right. crazy, you know, without like feeling
right.
Because I think we all go a little crazy if we're active on it too much.
Yeah, totally. You know? No, totally. I mean, yeah. I think what it comes down to is there's a couple of things. Number one, we're not saying we're above anybody, no. but I think we have to give ourselves credit where credit is due, and we have to say we've done a lot of work of self-exploration. We've done a lot of work of facing our demons. Yeah. We've done a lot of work of, you know,
and we continually
trying to be our most authentic
and
selves.
And we continually do we're it. Always, we're always doing it.
Right. And so, and a lot of people don't do that because, you know, for whatever reason, I'm not going to go into the because, but right. there's a lot of reasons why a lot of people don't do that. And so I don't think we should not be able to be proud of the fact
Absolutely.
That we have
yeah. We are,
you know,
proud.
Gotten to this point right. in our lives. You know,
we're not
going to
knock
good.
Ourselves.
So I think
we're not going to knock our own growth
right.
and
I
our
think,
own work.
Right, right. And I think that's okay. And I think we're also given that we're allowed to also look at other people and say, "Damn, they haven't put the work in yet." That doesn't make us egotist.
No.
That doesn't make us, you know, elitist. That just means we're noticing that there's certain things that certain work that hasn't been done in certain people, and they're trapped in this sort of algorithm. Essentially, they're trapped in this designed loop, and they're just sort of a victim to the powers that be.
Yeah.
You know, these, they're being marketed to perfectly. They're engaging in the algorithm in the way the algorithm wants them to generate revenue for the algorithm and
cult.
Make people a lot of money.
It's like the cult of the algorithm.
Yeah. And they right. And they're just, you know, and that's it. And that eventually will result in a lot of unhappiness, because there have been studies about that too, about psychological effects of social media addiction and psychological mm-hmm. effects of this sort of influencer culture and, you know, all of this stuff. So,
yeah,
I mean,
and
you know, the problem.
In order for us to be able to hopefully maybe help other people, we do have to acknowledge mm-hmm. the work that we've done, you know, and I think that that's yeah. where it's right. important to say, I see that, like, I've done a certain amount of work, and I can note, like you said, I notice people who are really deep in this and they don't even realize it. So it's almost like
right.
you kind of, right. even by like talking about this stuff, it's like we're maybe planting the seeds. If other people are listening
right.
and like they're struggling with being yep. addicted to social media and like doing some of the same
right.
things that like maybe I had done or like you had done in the past or whatever, it's like we're aware
right.
now. And we know what not to do.
Right.
But, like, I think it's about planting seeds, because people are not going to see it, and they're not going to, like, you know, when they're stuck in this world, in this mindset, a
right.
lot of times, like, they have
right.
to be ready. They have to hit their own breaking
right.
point. Like, with influencers.
Right.
Like, the influencer culture, I mean, that's a whole nother
yep.
conversation in and of its own, but...
Please.
Like, it's gotten worse. Because that is a whole persona now. It's like the influencer is a persona and who is that person right. underneath there? Like when they're not marketing something right. to people. So everything they do is a matter of, you know, I have to create content and produce results or else I am not a valid right. human. Like that's a big problem.
Right.
Really big problem.
Right. Right. And that's the thing. When it gets into that realm of your self-worth is being calculated by your social media engagement or your influence or your reach or your clout or whatever you want to call it, mm-hmm. That's when you end up in this really negative headspace. And that's why so many of these kids that are big influencers, TikTok stars, whatever, are like disasters outside of their platform because living a life like that is not natural. Like you're not being yourself.
Right.
You're not living your authentic experience. You are curating yourself to such a degree where there is no separation between the persona and the person. So then what? You know,
right.
and again, it's back to that the theme of the line being blurred.
Yeah, because a big problem is now a lot of these influencers take quotes, right? Completely out of context mm-hmm. from like Einstein mm-hmm. or someone famous. And then they post yeah. the quote, but the quote in and of itself has no meaning. It's just something completely taken right. out of context. And they try to use that as like motivation or like wisdom.
Right.
And it's like, it doesn't even right. make any sense. It's like, this is not coming from you. Like you're taking something from somebody
no.
else's mouth, pulling it out of yep. context and mm-hmm. basically trying to give it some sort of motivational meaning, and it's toxic mm-hmm. and it's not helpful
yep.
and it's like not who you are. You're just and mm-hmm. you know, like there are several people that we know that are doing this too, like
oh yeah,
you know, just trying to be yeah. inspirational just because they're
the majority people do. I think
right.
I actually genuinely think the majority of people that I know personally who are on social media, the majority are completely different people on social media than they are in person.
Yeah.
It's like noticeably different, whether it's mannerisms, tone of voice, appearance, word choice, the just the content itself.
Everything. So basically it's a performance, right? It's a complete and utter performance.
It's performance. Yeah, it's performance. But the thing is there is no self-awareness about the performative nature. And that's when it's weird. If it was camp in the sense,
yeah.
like where it's, this is performance and I know it's performance. It's not, to me, that's not problematic because you're aware of
right.
it. I think a lot of it has to do with awareness. If you're not aware that you're performing and you are allowing that performance to bleed into your reality, it's like an actor that does like a character for too long and then can't shake the
like
character.
Like Heath Ledger.
You know what I mean?
Like the Joker.
Yeah.
Right?
Perfect. Yeah, exactly. And yeah, he was like that. There was another one that was a really there was somebody else that happened to too, that like did a role and like could not shake the role after and like had a really hard time psychologically detaching. That is exactly what happens
yeah.
when people
yeah.
create these personas on social media and then they are so ingrained in the persona
mm-hmm.
and that's not even a character. That's them representing themselves. So it's even harder to let go of it because then you feel like you're losing a part of yourself. I know that
yeah.
This was years ago, but Katy Perry had done on her Witness album, she had done this promotional thing where she was in a house for like 4 days straight and there was 24-hour cameras going and she had like dinner parties and all this stuff and it was all leading up to the promotion of her new album.
That's crazy.
But while she was there, she did like therapy session with a therapist and like had it filmed and like really got vulnerable about her childhood and all this stuff. And one of her big things she was saying, this is when she like cut her hair all off and went platinum blonde. She said to this guy that, and it was a big moment for her in that session. She said she chopped all her hair off and dyed it platinum to separate Katherine Hudson, her real mm-hmm. name, from Katy Perry, because Katy Perry became the person everyone loved and wanted. And Katherine Hudson was still this little girl who never was able to become a woman. So now she's trying to like give Katherine her time.
Yeah.
And it was so ill received by the masses. Like her sales plummeted. I mean, she did so good with Teenage Dream and then Witness came out and it was like, everybody's like, oh, she's in her flop era. She cut all her hair off. She looks stupid. She this and that, whatever.
Wow.
And now she's back with the long black hair doing these pop songs, like literally poking fun at it. In the music video she just came out with, I can't remember the name of the song, but it's her newest one. She says in the beginning, like, let's give them what they mm-hmm. wanted, and does this like hyper pop girl song with choreography and like the black hair and all this. So it's almost like it's mockery, she right? was, in my opinion, it's very satirical. And her whole Vegas residency, if you watch it, is like super satirical. It's like she literally at one point starts singing with like, can I swear?
Yeah.
Can I yeah, swear on here?
I, okay. I already
she,
did.
She like, she, I didn't notice if you did or not, so I didn't want to screw it up. There's like a point where somebody, like there's an oversized toilet bowl that comes out and a piece of shit comes out of the toilet and starts duetting with her. God. And she like climbs so up on gross. The toilet seat and is like singing with it.
I did it's not so see It's so gross, that. But it's so like nasty, so. But it's like.
Oh, you got to so, look it up.
It's
there's,
like
there's so many.
It's like theater of the absurd.
It is. And so what I think her journey has been, she initially started as like a Christian singer. Like she was
I didn't know
traveling
that.
Doing like folk music and like Christians. Yeah, she grew up like a pastor's daughter, all this stuff. Uh-huh. So she started doing that. I don't think she had the success she wanted. Then she did the I Kissed a Girl, went this like hyper pop persona route, got all
talk
the
about a 180.
Then literally. Then she, I think that clash happened where she was like, wait a second, this isn't who I am. And I need to have myself here. And then she got into that space. And now I feel like she's poking fun at the fact that this is the industry and this is the world we're living in. But she now knows who she is. Right. So it's not causing her the same level of trauma it did when she was at her peak before.
I think she's actually a really good comparison, she's an interesting person. That's a, yeah.
And she's smart.
She's a smart girl. She's very, you know, she's very smart, and she's like, she's had a lot of experience through this extreme amount of fame that she's had too.
Right.
And I think too.
So I think that's like a success story
that is.
Of somebody who went through the process yeah. and came out the other
because,
side.
Because like
you know?
She could still be.
But a lot
be,
of people don't have that.
She could. Yeah, you're right. She could still be part of her, have that like Christian singer, folk singer in her, you know, and that's still there. Yeah. Catherine Hudson, right? What was it? Hudson?
Yep.
She has that still yeah. there. And then she has like this mega pop star, you know, irreverent part of her there too. And both parts right, are right. valid. Like, they're parts of who she is. And I think right. that she – and then, like, the little sarcastic side that's, like, poking fun at the yeah. success and stuff like that, that's all yeah. in her. But she's aware of it.
Right.
Like you said, she's not letting it slip by her. I think that a lot of other celebrities right. lose complete touch with reality.
Yes.
And they just yes. – you know, they just – it's like a complete destruction of self, and it's a complete persona. Right. They live right. in that persona 24/7.
They become that person.
Right.
Yeah.
And this is and what's happening
I'm not
to
gonna,
the normal
I'm not gonna,
person.
Right. Right. And this, but exactly. But that's what I'm
You're
saying is like,
name
we
any
can
names,
look at certain
but,
celebrities.
Yeah.
I'm not going to name any names about celebrities because certain people are, you know, you get, the fans come after you
oh,
if you say
course,
anything about certain people. But there's very obviously certain celebrities that have not come out the other side right. of it that are very deranged and damaged because of it. And I think, you know, it's easy to look at somebody like Katy Perry and say, okay, I can follow her journey and I can see she's come out the other side. But Katy Perry also has all the resources in the world
right.
that she could possibly
she's
need.
She's got the therapy.
A lot of people
don't have access
yeah,
to it.
Yeah, she's got everything she can need. She can take a year off. She can take 2 years off. She's got the financial stability. You know, but when you have these people that are your everyday person
yeah.
that are trying to make a name for themselves, that are doing this every day, day in and day out, managing their own social media accounts, becoming this persona.
Hustling.
And the line starts to blur. If you're not in that person's life to tell them, hey, you're freaking me out. You're not yourself. You need to check that whole persona mm-hmm. thing. I think that's where it comes in is people have to have a responsibility to each other
right.
to keep each other in check when they're getting too far away from the person they really
yes.
are. You know,
yeah.
because not everybody's going to have that self-awareness to be able to say,
yeah.
whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, I need to return to myself. That's why anytime that I feel like I'm like something's off, I step away, I step off the
right.
platform.
Yep.
You know, and I'm like,
yep.
I have to reevaluate stuff. Because I tend to be an extremist.
Yep.
Like I can get very heated mm-hmm. and I can just let this false world become my reality to the point where it's like making me physically sick. So that's when I say, all right, right I need right. to not let it get to this point. But a lot of people don't do that right. because this is their job.
No. Right. Well, it's their job. And again, back to what we were talking about before, like they haven't done the work
done
to
the
be
work.
Able to like, have enough self-awareness. It's self-awareness. It's literally all about awareness. Like not in a woo-woo way, but like you have to be aware of your circumstances. When you're on these platforms, you have to be aware that information is being gathered about you so it can be marketed back to you so you don't fall into the trap like you said in the very beginning about, oh, it must be the universe communicating with me. No, it's not. It's Facebook listening to your conversations and then marketing to you. If you know that though, you won't fall into those traps. And, you know, not to say that synchronicities don't exist, and sometimes things do come out of nowhere and you get a sign somehow and it's like completely unprovoked. Yeah, right. That's but to value those moments, you have to know when these manufactured moments are when they're manufactured and not confuse the two. Again, don't blur the line,
right?
Because there are moments that are, you know, synchronicities that exist that, you know, I know you're famous for that, where you know, where it's like you are constantly getting signs from things that are completely out of nowhere.
I know,
you know, not on social media stuff, like in real life. That's crazy.
Like the thing I showed you the other day.
To be able
that's
to
crazy, wasn't it?
Right, but I'm saying, but to be able to appreciate those moments, you have to know when you go on Instagram later and something about this conversation is on there. That's not the universe validating your experience.
I think
that's Facebook saying, "Oh, we heard you."
Right. It's in the quiet moments that you hear the nudge from like above. Like, you know what I mean? It's not in these crazed.
It's
crazed moments where you're scrolling, full of anxiety, full of like this, I need to click for a dopamine rush. And there's going to be a documentary about this soon. Like there's been so many of them. But like there's going to definitely be another. I just sense like another Jaron Lanier, you know, that guy who's like, wrote the I think it's like six reasons to delete your social media accounts right now or something like that. The guy with the dreads, he's so nice. He's such a cool guy. But I feel like there needs to be a really big investigation and like documentary of what these tech companies like what they're now doing, because they're profiting off of people in a greedy way. It started out as like love and light and fun and like great like possibilities. So this is a world of opportunity for people, all the promises. And now it's turned into chaos. Plus the pandemic, plus the apocalypse, like the world is falling apart. You know, we're experiencing a collective mental health crisis, major mental health crisis.
Absolutely.
Where people are projecting, they're projecting their mental health problems onto other people via social media. And what are we going to do about it? It's a big problem.
Right. Well, that's what I said. I think the key takeaways would be stay aware.
Know your role, you know, literally. Remember The Rock and on WWE? Know your role and shut your mouth.
Know your role. Shut your mouth. Know your role. Be aware.
Be aware.
And be an advocate for people that are close to you in your life. And if they're slipping, keep them in check.
Exactly.
You know,
especially younger people too.
That's important.
Yeah, especially if they're younger.
For sure.
You know, like, and like they're trying to be cool with their friends and
formative
stuff. This is a big problem with kids like that are in their teens or teenagers.
I could never have grown up. I'm so happy we grew up in the generation we grew up in where we were just on the precipice of like
I had My Dear Diary, like, which was a Casio. It was like the first first form of text messaging.
I always, you don't know how jealous I used to be when all the girls would pull those out and I wanted one so bad. I wanted one of those things so
bad. You can get one now,
bad.
I think, for like $30. I think they have some of them. They're selling some of them.
I might, just so I can have it now. But I was so, because I thought that was the coolest thing.
Yep.
But, you know, but I'm happy we still had a childhood experience that was, you know, removed from
this kind of experience.
We were
playing Oregon Trail, like, you know,
that was the extent of our immersive experience.
Yeah.
You know, it was playing Oregon Trail and Gertrude's Secrets.
My
favorite.
Like, I think the biggest problem was like, I don't know, like Samantha died of dysentery in the Oregon Trail or something like that, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Because we grew up in that generation where we were, you know, the at-home computer was like just starting to be a thing. I mean, most of my childhood, we didn't have a computer in the house.
No, yeah.
And then
1996,
you know, it wasn't until I was like in high school.
Yeah.
I don't think I got my first computer until I was like Yeah, AOL with your AIM and your Instant Messenger. That's what kind of kicked off that idea of like, wait, this can be used as a social tool. Like Instant Messenger was like, I think the first social tool I ever used in like a form of social media, your away messages and group chats and all this stuff. You know, but we still had a reference point. You know, kids now don't, you know, all they know is this hyper immersive social media world. And how does that affect how they become adults, you know? So I think it is important for younger generations to keep each other in check.
100%.
You know, make sure. But it happens to our generation too. And it happens to, you know, even my parents' friends and stuff. And
it's definitely,
you know, their generation. They're the boomers. And they get crazy with it too.
Boomers are going nuts with it too. They really are. And I think a lot of the boomers, especially the couple of glasses of wine and going on social media and getting like real angry about political stuff and you know, things that we won't mention. Yeah. Like just like, it gets a little out of hand. And then the misinformation and stuff like that, like false news.
Right, which is a huge problem. And what is that even, you know, you've got the news, the media, which we could talk about for hours on
that's
end. That's a totally different conversation. But this whole thing of how you police social media platforms, you know, how do because every social media platform is a private company, so they have the right to do whatever they want, you know, on their platform. But then again, you have this, which we talked about before, this sort of idea of freedom of speech, and people think if they're, you know, blocked on Twitter or if their account gets deleted on Instagram because they're posting something hateful or crazy or whatever, that their freedom of speech is being attacked. Well, no, you chose to, when you made your account, you had to read the fine print. You're making your account on a platform owned by a private company. That's not silencing your freedom of speech. And if you were to say any of this in real life, you'd probably get knocked out. So you won't.
Right.
So you'll go on these platforms and spew all this stuff
whatever
because you think you're entitled to the same thing. But when you're out in the world, you know, freedom of speech, whatever. But when you're going into private, it's like, you know, walking into a private business and saying all this hateful stuff, the business owner could say, get out of my store. You know, same thing with Facebook, same thing with Spotify, same thing with whatever. If the private institution that you're, you know, contracted to essentially doesn't want you to say certain things on their platform, they have every right to kick you off their platform.
Yeah, because it's their platform. They created it. It's like,
it's their platform. Exactly. Go to another
platform.
Like
in our world.
Then. If you're so sure of yourself.
When we invite someone into this world.
You know, and the Joe Rogan thing's huge
right
now.
Oh, God.
You've heard about the Joe Rogan thing, right? Oh. You know, it was Neil Young and.
Wait, no, I didn't.
You didn't hear about this? So, Neil Young apparently. Oh, you just disappeared on me.
Hold on. Sorry. I'm here.
There you go.
Okay, so what happened now?
So Joe Rogan's, obviously, you know Joe Rogan. He's controversial. He says a lot of stuff that is, people consider, especially about COVID, they consider him anti-vax. They consider him, you know, whatever, like all this stuff he has. You know, he just had Jordan Peterson on and they had like a 3-hour, you know, jerk off fest with each other. It was the stupidest thing ever. But he's had other people. He's had Sanjay Gupta. He's had all these other people on, whatever. I think he's problematic. I think he's not the smartest guy. And I think he has some pretty dumb opinions on things. But I don't know. He's not, to me, I don't see him as like hyper dangerous if, you know, any more than some other pundit would be, you know? So the whole problem was, I guess, Neil Young in protest said, after I guess Joe Rogan's latest thing, he said, I'm pulling all my music off Spotify because I refuse to be sharing a platform with somebody that's spouting all this COVID misinformation and all this stuff.
Oh my God.
And you know, he has every right to do that. Yeah. You know, he can say I'm doing it. He wasn't saying either it's me or Joe Rogan. He was just saying, I don't want to share a space with this guy because I don't agree with him. So I'm pulling my music off of the platform. Then, what's her name? Did it, one of the ones, you like her. She's like one of the, from that era, like one of those singer songwriters, 70s. Like what the hell's her name?
Carly Simon.
I can't remember. It's one of the people you like, but so now she did it too.
Oh, so she's not on Spotify either.
She's not on Spotify either. And so all these people now are, you know, hashtag boycott Spotify, hashtag
cancel
Spotify.
So it's like
Spotify,
one extreme to the next.
Joe Rogan.
Yeah, so it's like, you know,
right.
Either
so
fully immersed
like,
or
you know,
pulling, ripping yourself away from it.
Right. So now Spotify responded by saying, we're going to label Joe Rogan's podcast as like something like a disclaimer about, you know, information presented in this podcast may not reflect actual scientific information about COVID and blah, 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 blah. So that way, that's their way of saying, because Joe Rogan's making them so much fucking money. I mean, he signed a $20 million deal with them, I think, if I'm not mistaken. Or it was some huge, huge, huge deal, I think. Maybe $20 million, all right. It was millions of dollars,
that's
though.
That's insane.
To do this.
Just for,
so
yeah, for Spotify.
He's making Spotify so much. He's the number one. I think he's the number one podcast in the world, if I'm not mistaken, in terms of listeners. So he's making Spotify so much money. So they're not going to kick him off their platform because he's making the money. The problem is, and we can end on this because this could go into a whole other conversation too.
I mean, this is so interesting.
But
we have to plan out another conversation on this, what we're going into
right
now.
But I just got to get this one thing.
Yeah.
This one thing. So the problem is, and this is going to be like, people are going to probably roll their eyes, but when you are living in a capitalist society, you cannot be surprised if ethics is not the priority of businesses. If we lived in a society that wasn't driven by capital gains, by profits, Spotify probably would have kicked Joe Rogan off ages ago. But because he's making them so much money, and because that's the power in the society, they're never going to kick him off because there's no incentive to do it. And ethics isn't enough because ethics don't pay the bills. So that's what the problem really is.
Ethics don't pay the bills.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. It's true. There is no, in my opinion, there is no ethical capitalism. You cannot be prioritizing ethics and succeed in a capitalist structure, because a lot of ways that you will make money the most efficiently and the fastest requires you to put all ethics aside and do things that are unethical. And
usually,
you know,
like
giving,
all the time. Yeah.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. So the issue is bigger than just Spotify, because if it wasn't Spotify, if Joe Rogan gets kicked off Spotify, he'll go somewhere else to some other platform and he'll bring all of his listeners there and they'll still listen to him because he has a platform. They'll follow him. It won't matter.
They'll follow him
so
wherever.
So this deplatforming people thing is not the answer. The answer is restructuring how we consider things to be valuable or not valuable in our society. But that's another topic for another day, but I just had to get
that. But it's a really good point. And there really is no ethical form of capitalism at all. You know, it's like you have to pick like the lesser evil, I think, because we're all trying to survive. But when you're on a larger scale.
And I also think this is all smoke and mirrors, too, by the way. I think this whole Joe Rogan uproar is distracting from other things that are going on. But that, again, is for another day.
Yeah, I mean, but it's all part of the world that we're in, though. It's part of social media culture, because these people wouldn't be famous if it weren't for these platforms. And it's great. It's great that we have this opportunity. Right. Everybody can be a creator.
Right.
You know, like I'm looking at you,
and again,
it says world creator under your name tag, you know, like
yours is world editor.
World editor. Like, you know, we all have the opportunity to create our own world here. And it's great.
Right.
I think it's great. We just have to
know
ourselves, keep doing the deep work on a regular basis. Like a lot of people say they don't have time, but like you don't have time, but then you go on social media and you spend all your time there. It's like, take a few minutes and just.
It's not something you have to set time for.
You know, you have to like think about.
It's not. It's
what
just
this
a
is
state
doing.
Of being. It's a state of being.
We need to think about what it's doing.
Be
to
aware
us.
All the time.
Right, because I'm still going to go on social
media. Be aware
all
the time.
I'm going to go on social media and I'm going to know what like what pushes my hot buttons. So then I'm going to really pay attention to that and take care of myself and focus on putting effort into my own emotional, mental well-being, so I don't become part of this mental health crisis that we have here, you know? That's really important.
Right.
I think it all boils down to that, really.
It is.
Sanity. Our sanity.